Ever wanted to try an Olympic and Paralympic sport? Try fencing. It's fast, safe, and easy to start. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/try fencing. That's usafencing.org/try fencing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello and welcome to episode 53 of the Sunday League Pundit Show. I would like to say that we're all in a good mood, and we're really not, because we've just spent the last hour and 20 minutes recording episode 53 of the Sunday League Pundit Show, and none of it has any volume. Now, we did a sound check at the beginning and everything was fine, and then we've recorded the podcast and everything is not fine.
Nope.
So we're going to be skipping loads of bits this week, unfortunately, because we just don't have time to sit and do another hour and a half's worth of recording, unfortunately, because I've got to be up, well, fairly shortly, and you've been at work all day today, Tin Ribs. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have half an hour or so of us just talking football, and we're going to see where
what we get through. We're going to miss
stuff. This week's just going to be totally different because it has been an absolute mess. Your camera's not even working now. That's how bad things are.
I mean, to be fair, it's a shame we couldn't subtitle the original episode.
Yeah, that would be good, actually, if there was a way.
But yeah, it's been a bit of a
farce.
No, I haven't got Jim Jam's camera. Oh, dear. Talk amongst yourself, boys.
You know what? It could end up being audio only.
Yeah. But you know what? I'd rather put half an hour out for the people that care than nothing. So, okay, so
I think we've just reached temperature.
Yeah. all right, let's get started. So, Jim Jam, Southampton.
Jim is back.
Let's have
played.
A bit.
Southampton played Man City. When they scored within 5 minutes, I was like, oh, what are we going to get here? Arwa Bellis went in wrestling Haaland, and you don't want to be wrestling Haaland because he's one of the strongest players in the league. So we scored within 5 minutes, and then to basically finish 1-0 is not too bad. I'll call it damage limitations there, because we could have lost that 7-8-0 very easily.
I certainly have to concede.
But they performed quite well. Pep came out and said that, you know, one of the best teams that City have faced. They made it struggle. You know, we play defensively by playing the ball out from the back like that we do. And as one of the stats said on Match of the Day, we've got the highest pass success rate at Manchester City at like 90% pass success.
It's not bad at all, is it, really?
It's not too bad at all.
It's not bad at all. And given like how your season's been, I really don't think.
Yeah.
Over the past couple of weeks, you've been really good, because you were good against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Good against City.
This is why I said
against Leicester, apart from the last couple of minutes.
Yeah. This is why I said we need to keep hold of perhaps keeping the manager, because if we're going into the Championship next year, it's going to be really good season if we carry on playing. It's just important keeping a lot of the players that we've got.
You've said for
and
a couple
hopefully
of weeks,
sign a few more. So
decent. You're okay with the manager staying, like, because I've asked you a couple of times now.
Yeah, I mean, I really like him. I mean, I just want some wins on the board.
You understand why there's talk of it, though, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But
I think if you can carry on the form that you've been showing over the last few weeks, you should be okay, to be fair.
You never know. Sports Republic say they've got a 10-year plan, and getting relegated might be part of a plan. You never know.
Sometimes you've got to bounce back in order to move forward, haven't you? Like, we've all done it in life. We've all taken steps back.
I mean, I did say it last year on the pod that if we get promoted, I don't think we've got the squad ready to compete. And
You did, to be fair.
That looks quite likely. Cameron March is starting to do well. He was unlucky to hit the bar, I think. So,
well, like I say, if you keep playing the way you've been playing over the past few weeks, there's a very good chance you were going to start picking points up, because you've played apparently the two best teams in the league, which is Arsenal and City, and you've held your own against both.
Yeah.
Arsenal only just struggled to come back and beat you. And...
oh my...
they've given a foul, I think. Arsenal struggled to come back and beat you.
Yeah.
And City only just beat you by one. Now, I would like to say that we're just watching the very, very end of the Arsenal v Liverpool game. We're literally in the 90th minute now.
And while we were recording to start off with, Stretch was very happy. And once we found out that the sound wasn't working, Liverpool scored about a minute after we found out that.
Sam has just made it 2-2, which is a bit disappointing given how well we're playing. But Liverpool are basically playing our B team because we've got so many injuries. Saka's gone off, Timber's gone off.
So... as we're going into our results, because we've got to be quick, so you played the Champions League game, you played Shakhtar, and you watched that game, so...
yeah, we played Shakhtar. I think it was a poor performance, poor game. Shakhtar were very, very poor, and we were very poor.
Yeah.
So we were slightly less poor than they were and got a 1-0 win. Trossard, unfortunately, missed a penalty, which was a poor penalty, but a decent save.
I know you've got 7 points and you've got 2 wins and a draw, I think it is, in the Champions League. But I think that 3 goals and no goals conceded, I think that's poor. And I think you need a lot more. Because you've not got the goals that you need against the team. Because you're going to face better teams that you're going to be wanting to scrape 1-0.
Yeah.
I think that when you play the Shakhtar Donetsk at home, if you were going over there... 1-0, probably a good result going over to a cold climate, especially when you're talking end of October. But you're at home and you're not scoring the goals at home.
No, we're doing nothing really. I can't understand. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I can't understand why Arteta's getting so much love and Ten Hag is getting so much hate. Because I'd take his record in the last 2 years where he's won 2 trophies, whereas Arteta's won nothing. Nothing.
I don't know what it is about Man United. They seem to start off okay. They got a good goal because they played Fenerbahce, which Mourinho's team, and they went 1-1. Eriksen, good finish, but again, they drew 1-1. And even like Paul's goals and Owen Hargreaves that were on commentary for that one, because I did start by watching that game, they said they'll be lucky to get a draw. Since when did Man... I mean, we've been saying it for a while, but 10 years ago, you wouldn't imagine anybody saying Man United are going to go to Fenerbahce and a draw is a likely result.
A draw is what we're expecting. Yeah, just...
complete collapse.
Yeah, just not good. Not good at all. But he's won 2 trophies in 2 years. So say what you want about him, he's a winner. Yeah, we're lauding Arteta for what he's done. What has he done? He's thrown away an 8-point lead. Then last season he threw away the title again. And this season we've had 3 red cards in 8 games, and them 3 games, we've lost the win because of it.
Yeah.
And I don't understand where this Arteta's like. I was telling you two on the radio the other day. Gabby Agbonlahor was there, and somebody said to him, "Oh, who's your top 5 managers in Europe?" And he went, "Well, in 5th, I think, oh, you've got to say Mikel Arteta." Fuck it, top 5 in Europe? What planet are you on? How is he top 5? Top 5 best managers in Europe, and you've got Mikel Arteta as 5th. Why? What's he done?
Fuck rubbish.
That's what he's done. He's done nothing. It's just an absolute joke. And Ten Hag, nowhere near the top 5, apparently. 1-2 trophies.
Yeah.
2 years. With, by the way, an absolute dogshit Man United team.
But
a very good 1-0 win in the FA Cup against Man City.
Yeah.
I mean, they did play quite well that day. They did what they needed to beat City, and not many teams do what they need to beat City. Mm. But he gets battered and Arteta gets lauded. Can you tell me what Arteta's done to be fifth best in Europe?
This goes down to what we said in the original podcast, where I said, everyone's lording on about how the Klopp and Guardiola era is the next best thing to the Wenger and Fergie. Which they're not even
what
the
a
same
load
category.
Of rubbish.
They're not in the it's same category. Same. I mean,
at least Arsenal won three trophies, three leagues to Man United's five, was it, or something. So at least it was a competition.
That, the only one that competes with that is Mourinho, Fergie, because obviously
Chelsea.
They took over the Arsenal slot. But they're on about it. And then I remember I said, in the time that Jurgen Klopp was at Liverpool, the golden era of Liverpool, the piss-poor Man United have become a joke era. United have won more trophies.
Yeah.
They've won more trophies in this so-called piss-pot era.
Yeah.
Than some of these big clubs, golden eras. It's a joke. It's like, because they're no longer the powerhouse that they were under Fergie, oh, now they're a joke club.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's
they're still adding to their cabinet.
Yeah.
But they're a joke. So, yeah. But what, Tottenham are on the up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
Yeah. One fuck all since 2008.
Yeah, and that, I mean, what, they haven't won a league in 53 years?
71 was it last time they won a league?
Something ridiculous. So, you know, it's just, you got to start looking at it. You've got a different perspective, I suppose, but it does annoy me how much hate Ten Hag gets.
I can't understand.
I say that as a fucking Leeds fan.
I can't understand the hate that Ten Hag gets. It doesn't bother me. Because I'm not United and I'm not Ten Hag, so I don't really care. It just baffles me how he gets so much hate when, for me, he's done so much good.
Yeah, I don't get
and it annoys me how Arteta gets lauded as this absolute genius when I'm like, what's he done?
Former manager is a better manager.
Oh,
Emery.
You mean the one that taught us a lesson last season and beat us twice?
Yeah. And he's currently sitting, I think, top of the Champions League?
Yeah, because Villa are doing well.
Yeah,
three wins out of three for them. Where I say that motivation is biggest thing because they only play each team once. They're playing eight games. They're going to play games that they expect to win and they're going to play tough games, but they're only going to play that tough game once. And the tough game, you would say, I know that they didn't do as well last season, but Bayern Munich, Villa would go to that and think, that's a bonus point if we get a point against Bayern Munich and over at home.
Yeah, but they
got the 3 points, and now they're 3-3. So they're top of it. Obviously, Liverpool, they've got 3 out of 3. Man City have got 7 points out of theirs, and their draw was against Real Madrid. So realistically, they're doing well.
Who?
The not fake Madrid.
Oh, not fake. The real ones.
The
real
real ones. I have to say it like that, you know, with the Spanish manager.
David Moyes.
Yeah.
David Moyes. That's his name. Isn't
it? You always say Moyes.
Moyes.
Yeah, we've already it's said Moyes. We're trying to wind up people. I mean, I don't know where Ajax are at the moment in Europe.
On the shelf.
On the shelf, yeah, in the supermarket.
On the shelf.
Yeah.
The Liverpool-Arsenal game's just finished 2-2. A very undeserved point for Liverpool and a very hard-fought point for Arsenal B team.
I think injuries have screwed you over massively for this game.
Yeah, Saka got taken off, Timber got taken off, Gabriel got taken off. We're already without Odegaard and Saliba. And Liverpool still couldn't beat us. Yeah, best team in the world. Yeah, your fans are shit as well, by the way.
Oh, players are still getting booked after the game.
Yeah, Jesus has just been booked after the game for arguing. But, to be fair, he had a right to argue. Because they should have given us a corner at the end and they give Liverpool a goal kick when it come off their defence.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he's moaning about it.
Mad.
But yeah, people are still going to laud him for being unbeaten. Whereas really, he's beaten Arsenal reserves. He's drawn against Arsenal reserves.
Yeah.
Beaten Chelsea. Got beaten by Forest, who are the only real decent team that he's played so far.
Forest have done all right, you know. They won.
Yeah.
They beat Leicester, their local, one of their sort of rivalry games.
Yeah, kind of a derby, not derby type.
Yeah, there's still a bit of heat there.
It's one of them where whoever loses it goes, they're not a real derby, this is not a real derby. But whoever wins it goes, we've just won the derby.
One of them.
Don't tell me they're too far away from each other as well, because people tell me that Palace and Brighton can't be a derby because they're 41 miles away.
Yeah, but that's all to do with the motorway, isn't it?
Yeah, but then you look at Norwich and Ipswich. Do you know how far they are away?
A long way away.
They're a lot further than Palace and Brighton.
That's
they're over 41 miles away.
I was going to say.
That's a derby.
That's because there's only like two clubs in East Anglia,
Yeah, there is that. There is that. There's loads of teams in Wales, but you wouldn't know because like half of them aren't actually playing in the Welsh League. Most of them are in the English League. They hate the English, but they want to win the English leagues.
I mean, we didn't mention that in the first bit about the Welsh leagues and how they want, is it like Swansea, Cardiff and teams in Wales to compete in Europe under the Welsh
personally,
banner.
I don't think they should be in the English league. We won't let Rangers and Celtic in. Well, why? We let Swansea, Wrexham.
Yeah.
So why would you let some in and not others? I don't understand it.
I mean the New Saints, they played their European game in England this week. I mean, they won Estania, I think they played Romanian team, I think it was, and they played at Shrewsbury.
Do you know what I didn't realise? I've only just noticed. Palace actually beat Tottenham today.
Yeah. We've already mentioned that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't listening. A bit like that, wasn't
it? Oh, clearly,
yeah.
I would say play it back, but, well...
Because we did say, Palace were a decent team, and I turned around and said, no, Tottenham are shit.
Yeah. Because I said I've been saying it all along, and he's like, oh, no, Tottenham are shit.
I just must have just heard Tottenham and gone, Tottenham are shit. It must just be like an
Tottenham
automatic...
Tottenham
must be an automatic response I've got now.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, they got beat by Palace.
Tottenham ain't getting top four this season.
But wait, they're a big six.
They're not even big six at the moment.
No, I don't think they are. West Ham have beat United. City beat Southampton 1-0, struggled. Everton 1-1, Fulham. Fulham, for me, are a great side. They'll see that as disappointing. Brighton 2, Wolves 2.
You know what? I know you said you might not make top four, but I'll tell you what. The teams around you ain't doing anything to help themselves to break into the top four.
I say the top four. I mean the top three, because we all know there's only second, third and fourth up for grabs. So we're trying to break into the top three.
Yeah.
It's like, let's forget first, because that's gone. Because we're the greatest league in the world, with the greatest teams and the greatest players in the world, but City are going to win the league every single year.
We've been joking for a while that Chelsea are shit. They're fifth. They're only a point behind you.
Yeah, but we are shit. That's the thing. Unless we have our first 11 out, we're not a great side.
Are Chelsea better than we think they are?
Oh, far better.
At the moment.
Got some far better players. I don't know why.
Are they starting to click?
They started really badly. And they've started to
Is it just starting to click? Is it because they're losing the games that you'd expect them to lose? Like when
they're
playing
a lot of them at the start.
When they're playing like Liverpool's and stuff. Because I think they held their own against Liverpool and they did okay despite the defeat. They said they were pleased with the performance.
But I would say that Chelsea did lose to Liverpool and our reserves have just drawn with them. So obviously they're not as great as people are making out.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe Chelsea break into that top four.
For me, they could. They could quite easily finish top four, Chelsea. I think they're very underestimated, Chelsea as a side.
Villa will probably be there. I'd be shocked if they weren't, I think.
Right, so we think Chelsea and Villa are going to be in the top four. That leaves one
you
space.
You think?
I don't.
I don't think Chelsea are going to.
No, I don't
said
think.
They could.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be beyond
no,
the
a big difference. I think.
No.
I don't
at
think
the moment,
they will, but I think they could.
Don't think they'll be there around here. Six.
Right, name by the first. Name the other three in the top four.
Top four. As things stand.
With obviously Man Charges to City are going to be one of them.
Yeah.
I think it is going to be probably Liverpool, Arsenal and Villa.
Same as last year. But Liverpool might come second. Maybe.
Not if they can't beat our reserve team.
But Chelsea won't do it.
We started the game with no Odegaard and no Saliba. Yeah. And then very shortly into the second half, Gabriel's gone off, Timber's gone off. We're left with Lewis Skelly at the back, Kivior and Ben White as centre-backs, and they still couldn't beat us. These are meant to be the greatest team in the world, aren't they?
So, my issue with Chelsea is, without Palmer, they don't seem to be anything. Palmer literally is carrying that team, right? And they've got really an arrogant manager who is dog shit.
Yeah, but he's another Pep boy.
Yeah, but he's dog shit.
Pep's bitch boy.
But he's dog shit.
We've got a Pep's bitch boy.
He had the Man City of the Championship and nearly fucked it up last season. Like, literally nearly fucked it up. And then he's got the Chelsea job.
Did he fuck it up or did Leeds fuck it up?
Oh, Leeds fucked it up. We threw it away. But that's my point. He was, if it wasn't for Leeds, absolutely fucking up those last, what was it, 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
I would like to say that he's just showing me a picture of Arsenal with bottlers
as a sponsor. No, it was me that sent that.
Oh, that was you that sent that. It should have been a Leeds shirt.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. No, it really should. But
sorry, it wasn't made by... Yeah. For them, unfortunately, it came in Arsenal.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah. I mean, we bottled the league twice.
So whoever
it's fitting still.
Whoever made it, they don't take requests, as far as I know.
Yeah. But
if you don't know who made it, you don't know who don't take requests.
But when you've literally got the Man City of the Championship, and you're expected to win.
Yep.
And the only reason you win the league is because the other team fucked it up that badly. Can you honestly say you're that good?
No, but then I also think that when you're 8 points clear at the end of February and lose the league title, you shouldn't be lauded as being one of the best managers in Europe.
Agreed.
But yet here we are, where Arteta is one of the best managers. It feels like we big our manager up the way fucking Liverpool do. Everything about us is amazing. We've got the best of this, the best of that. We've got.
You are turning more and more into Liverpool. You're celebrating not winning. That's what Liverpool celebrate. Klopp was because they brought. I'm not saying you. We're talking Arsenal fans in general. Generalisation.
Every game that we've played this season.
Generalisation at the moment is because obviously Liverpool love the fact that Klopp and they finish second every year and they were competing every year and he's made them a better team.
The fans when they drew 2-2 with West Brom or something a few years back.
God knows, but
and then they have a go at Arsenal for over celebrating when we win. Hang on a minute, arseholes.
Yeah,
absolute arseholes. I would like to say this is a really grumpy podcast for those that are listening, but we're a little frustrated that we've lost an hour and 20 minutes worth of recording through no sound.
Just because I really enjoyed the previous hour's talk that we've done, and I feel really like I'm just repeating myself.
It was good.
We are now sat here thinking we've heard all this before.
But I've been out of the house since 4 a.m. I am absolutely dying, and the idea of just carrying on is like going the whole 2 hours again.
We're not going to be doing that for 2 hours.
No, I mean...
This will just be whatever it is as a part, and it will just be a podcast. And we do apologise, we really do, because obviously we'd now like to do the best that we can do, and for whatever reason,
it failed.
There's been an issue with the equipment this week, and we haven't been able to provide the pod that we would like to, which is really gutting, because you know, we have got to a point now where we're quite proud of what we're putting out, and we're quite proud of what we do, and it is... It's upsetting more than frustrating, actually, that we haven't been able to...
We did talk a bit about with Ballon d'Or, but we'll go into that next week, because we'll know who's won it next week. So
we'll leave it there. What I would like to say is, the finish to this week's podcast is going to be very, very different, because we're going to talk now about the Macclesfield game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because that's where we found out that the problem was.
Yes, this is when we found out, because we were on about the sound and how we were going to put out the manager's interview, which is what we're going to talk about. Now, Macclesfield played an FA trophy game against Ashton in Ashton and won
7-1.
And it was as one-sided as it sounds, and it was as painful as it sounds.
And from what you're telling
now, manager interviews, now they like to play it down, keep things to themselves, and not say too much. And
fans have always said, I want to hear what my manager actually thinks, not what he's trained to say or what they're told to say or like when they play it down. So,
yeah, apparently this is quite a peach.
He had an interview on his team's channel, so it was Ashton
TV.
Channel.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like Macclesfield have got their own YouTube channel, and they'll interview Robbie Savage, and they'll put that out. And it is literally just a channel for the team, for the fans, for the club.
It's thanks to Shane from the JRI that put the link up for to see it.
Yes, it was Shane from the Junior Rangers Initiative that had messaged me on Facebook and said, "Have you seen Ashton's manager's interview?" I'm like, "I haven't, mate. No." Why? So he sent me the link to it.
Yeah, I saw the link, so that's why I watched it.
I can tell you for nothing, there is not one Ashton fan that has seen that interview and then sat back and thought, I wonder what he really thinks. Because every single Ashton fan that has seen that interview has sat back and gone, I know exactly what my manager thinks about everybody.
Now, results, we don't know well how results have gone, but we can establish that results weren't going too well before. He had a heart-to-heart with the owners about to the point where he could have been leaving his job. Obviously the heart-to-heart went very well in the week and stuff like that, and he said that he's going to stay. And him and his coaching team have done nothing wrong, and they're quite happy with the way they are, but as soon as them players cross that white line,
it's down to the players.
Oh, my.
I think
he did not think much.
Let's not talk too much about it, because I think by playing the clip...
It's 4 minutes long. For those that are curious about what we're saying, so I will put it up as the ending to this podcast, but it's about 4 minutes, 4 minutes 20, something like that. So it's not a huge amount of time for you to sit and listen, but it's well worth every second of it. I will say that. It is definitely worth every second listening to. Brilliant, brilliant interview, and I wish more managers were like it, because it was just quality, absolute quality. So we will put that as the finish to the podcast. Quickly, let's go into Leeds, because we haven't spoken about that for the second time.
Okay, so I'll just go over what we pretty much... I'll just re-brief everything we talked about. The Watford game was good. Batman had a terrible start. Two goals over...
Batman! That's what it sounded like.
He had two horrendous clangers, and that pretty much cost him the two goals. However, he made some good saves later on, redeemed himself. Probably could have been three or four.
Yeah, and Watford started the second half really well. Fantastic. Because I watched a whole game of that one. He started really well. I watched the game. It was a brilliant game of football. Watford,
it was good for
really,
neutrals as well.
They gave it a go, but unfortunately, when they scored their goal... That was the only shot they had in target in the second half.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a shot on target, you're not going to score an equaliser.
And the main takeaway from the game, the 3 points, was the fact that Ramazani's injured and he's now looking to be out for about 6 to 8 weeks. That's crippling.
That doesn't sound good.
That's crippling for us. Mm. He is one of our best players.
That sounds like having an Odegaard.
He literally is like Somerville, but better. I genuinely think
you were worried about Somerville going.
Yes, but this player seems better in my eyes.
Yeah, so good result against Watford.
He's a bit lazy to me because he's not going to be there for the next.
And so Bristol City 0-0. How do you feel?
You know what? They played football. We played football. Both teams just lacked a cutting edge, and that is the difference. Their keeper made is it O'Leary? He made some really good saves. Great one-handed left-handed save from Ananto outside the area. Absolutely fantastic save. But other than that, there wasn't really much in it. We had some. I think we had the better of the chances. I think we were the better team, but we just lacked the cutting edge to kill it off.
But there was something more important.
Absolutely,
the game.
I did want to bring that up because we did talk about it a little bit. And I forgot his first name. Is it Chris Manning, the manager? But basically,
I had Liam in my head.
It could be terrible with names. Absolutely terrible with names. It is. It's Liam Manning. So Liam Manning lost his son Theo at a very young age. I mean, to be fair, Liam doesn't look very old himself. And he's had some time out. The club have supported him fantastically. And this was his first game back in charge. It was the first home game since, well, the first home game since he decided he was coming back. They did a minute silence for Remembrance Day, and then they did a minute's applause, and the fans held up
cards, fly high.
Plastic card, and it just read, "Around the whole stadium, fly high, Theo." It was beautiful. All the fans were respectful.
Very well observed.
It was so well observed. Yeah. Liam looked in absolute bits, but he did well. And you know when you sort of go on, walk on the pitch and clap everyone, because you know, and he did. It was very touching moment, very very sad, but it's good to see that he's back in the dugout. And you know what, his team did him well. His team did perform well. They held their own, and it was a frustratingly good game. And I think it was a good game because it was open. The play wasn't bad.
Just like goals.
You throw a couple of goals in there, it's a great game. But not getting the goals made it very, very frustrating.
Mm.
But I'll take 4 points. As I was saying earlier, prior to the Bristol game, we played 11 games and 7 of them were against the top teams around us.
Mm.
The only one we hadn't played was Blackburn. So, you know, we're doing all right.
Yeah, I mean, when they were talking on commentary and they went through, it's like the next 8 games for you are just brilliant. So you'll be up. I'd imagine you'd be up there near the top unless in 3 weeks' time when we're recording a pod and they've lost to Stoke in the last minute after dominating with 95% possession or something like last year.
Like last season, throwing it away.
It's going to be upsetting for a minute.
I remember last year saying, we played brilliantly against Stoke and then fucking beat us 1-0.
It's a Stoke thing.
They had one shot.
Stoke thing, though, isn't it? Be boring. Don't play football. Win in the last minute.
Well, I was listening to Tony Pulis' interview very quickly and he was talking about the time that he was playing Wenger, and Wenger and Stoke don't go very well together. And he moans about the long throw that Rory Delap did, and he played in the cup, and Wenger played all his tactics based on a throw-in. And when it came to the actual game, Rory Delap didn't even play. And then Stoke even still won 3-1, I think it was, on the day, and he was fuming because he'd done all this preparation for this long throw and he didn't even play him. So he had no excuses for the way that, because he didn't like the way that Stoke played because of the throw-in, and felt that it's not a proper way of playing football.
Snapped Aaron Ramsey. That's why they didn't like Stoke. Was it Shawcross?
Shawcross.
Snapped Aaron Ramsey, that's why we didn't like it. We didn't like Birmingham because they snapped Eduardo.
I quite like Shawcross.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
I think he was a decent player. I can't really say much about what happened after.
I don't think anything was dirty in the challenge.
It looked like his leg was broke before,
and it just didn't help. I think the follow through obviously broke it, but
I think it was slightly broke before.
It wasn't vicious.
It's like when Son went into Gomez.
Yeah.
There's obviously no intent there. I mean, he's hurting bad, but he didn't mean to.
Well, it's like
literally visibly crying on the pitch, so you know he's not gone into hurt the guy. Do you know what I mean? So these things do happen.
Well, I'm listening to the podcast at the moment, and the latest episode's got Stuart Stallis on, and I'm only 20 minutes into it, so there's a lot more talking to go. I think Tim's heard a lot more about the story being a Leeds fan. He said it along Jack Grealish hasn't done it on purpose or anything. He's just hit him like a car crash is how it was described. Mm.
And Jack Grealish is good at car crashes.
Apparently so.
Yeah. So, and he holds no grudge against Grealish. Like most players don't when something happens.
Yeah, because they understand that, like, shit happens. Yeah, I mean, you see stuff in training as well, where someone will get hurt.
It's the stuff where stuff doesn't happen, like that Martinez one against Palace, where he jumps up two-footed in the air. Mm. Now, if he'd have actually caught the player, I mean, he didn't even get sent off for it because he didn't make contact with the player, but he should have been sent off because if he hits him, absolutely, he should be absolutely mortified because he jumped in to hurt him,
theory. Yeah,
I mean, obviously, Roy Keane can't say that he didn't go in to hurt Haaland because that was intentional.
That was premeditated.
Yeah.
and intentional. That
he waited awful, years to do that to him.
Yeah, yeah, and it was obvious that he'd done it on purpose.
Yeah.
So
I think Gary Neville said when you hear the interviews and stuff, Gary Neville goes up to the referee and goes, "That's a yellow card." That and Roy Keane goes, "It's his fault. I got a red card because he said book him." I got booking. Yeah, now you've not said anything. He thought he'd get away with a foul.
Don't think you're going to get away with that in any
sport. No.
To be honest, I think he was always going to get sent off for that, regardless. I think what we're going to do, boys, we're going to call it a day there.
Because Tin's falling asleep.
Tin Ribs literally looks like he's about to pass out, and I'm still really annoyed that we've lost the last hour and 20 minutes, because it was a great podcast, guys. It was amazing.
Best one to date.
Oh, 100%.
Best of the best.
100% it was the best one. But unfortunately, we don't have most of it, which is pretty awesome.
So I don't think there's going to be a lot of social media this week.
No, there's not going to be a lot of clips. I will put some random clips up from last week and the last couple of weeks, because I've still got the last 3 weeks on my phone.
Yeah.
So I can put some random
old
clips
stuff up
from older podcasts. So there will be clips going up. Just not from this week, unfortunately. So, yeah, we do sincerely apologise. And like I said, we are trying to make things a little bit better. I'm trying to change things in the gym / shed, whatever you want to call
studio.
It.
Studio.
Studio. Yeah, however you want to refer
studio.
To it. Studio.
He bigged up the studio earlier, and we were expecting, like, sofas and, like, proper, like...
I was expecting to come into the old...
Den,
Sunday,
like... Wow.
I would like to say, though, that we have now got chairs that have got arms on.
Which I've twatted my elbow off 8 times tonight.
Which I would like to say is the very definition of a perk. we've got the background up now. We now look and feel a little bit more comfortable while we're sat just chatting. And yeah. I think, like, we've got a bit more room as well to move about, other than Tim Ribs, who keeps finding the bloody side of the shirt. An elbow in it, but
we're okay with it.
I think we're all
I miss
right,
the days where he elbows the weights over this side of the room.
Yeah. I mean, if you look back from like this episode now, if you go on YouTube and have a look at episode 53 or 52 or 51 or whatever, and just have a quick look at them on YouTube, then go back to episode number 1 and just have a look at how that was set up. Because we literally were sat on a multi-gym. You were sat on a weight bench. I don't know what you were sat on. But you
I
were
think he was sat on that chair still.
You were there holding my phone at one point. Because I said, oh, we've got a really basic setup. And the phone fell, if you remember.
Yeah, it
right.
did.
As I said, we've got a basic setup. I'm like, oh, wow, this is started really, really well. This
great.
Podcast. And here we are, a year and a week later. And we've got mics, we've got comfy chairs, me and Jim are sat chilling, not hurting ourselves.
Yeah.
And we've got a background now. So we're moving in the right direction. I still clearly don't know what we're doing, because we've just lost an hour and a half to the bloody podcast. But
yeah.
So I do apologise, but we are going to get there. And I am going to leave you beautiful people with the amazing, amazing audio that is Ashton's manager's interview. And we shall see you people. Hopefully, next week.
Be joined by manager Steve Cunningham after the exit of the FA Trophy here at Macclesfield. Steve, afternoon to forget, really?
No, not really. No, it's not one to forget. It's one that's a bit of an eye-opener that will be the catalyst for the rest of what goes on this season. We had a bit of a deep dive last week in terms of the way that we let that slip last week from being 2-0 up. And we've had a... If I said to you, my heart-to-heart... to the point where I talked about even resigning last week, just because I want more from the players and the team. And it's going to look really bad, this, because we had a real deep dive on Tuesday and went into a bit more personal detail around it, and a lot more substance as well. It got heated in terms of what I want from the team, and then they go and perform like that. So there's a major issue within the team, I don't mind saying it, but it certainly isn't me or my management team. I'm going to put it on the players on this one, because when you cross the white line after getting told you're playing for your contracts, or we want to see more from you, so we said it would be the best game to have. It's probably the worst game you could have had, because Macclesfield are a fantastic team. They're in form at the moment. Robbie's doing a really good job with the team. They've got quality all over. But if you come to a place like this and don't want to run, don't want to tackle, don't want to talk, don't want to do the ugly things of the game, you're going to get slapped. And I'm looking round at the team, there was no character, there's no leaders. They're just I can't really say what I want to say because obviously I'm trying to be respectful to the viewers and not swear and sound like Mark White, you know, because only you can get away with it. But I don't want anyone to think that me being jovial or, you know, I'm really hurting inside, I'm angry, but there's no point because I've wasted enough time on this group. I've just told them in there that this team will be ripped apart in the next 2 weeks. Hopefully there'll be men enough to accept that and cancel the contracts. That's how hard the conversation's just been. We've sort of said they'll get another club, there's no doubt about that, or they can sit in the stand for the rest of the season and pick up the money. But I think they've got more about them to do that than take the piss out of my football club, because at the minute some of them are with performances like that, and I don't want to take that away from Macclesfield because I thought they were excellent today, but we didn't exactly make it hard for them, did we, in the first half. I thought second half when we came out we'd made changes, and I thought for 10-15 minutes I thought we actually looked quite lively and showing a bit of pride for the guys in the corner, who I can only apologise to. I know there's certain fans that won't be happy and I'm not happy, but in the main I think we've done okay when the season kicked off, but I know we can be better, we've seen it. But what I won't let happen is them fans see constant performances or from individuals like that each week. So my promise to the fan base is it will be getting changed. Just bear with me a couple of weeks while we get players out, get players in. But if we're serious about getting promoted or getting playoffs, it won't be with this group of players. Those players have let me down. They're not as good as what I thought they were. So now I am going to make the changes and do what I need to do as a manager, which I get paid for. I'm looking forward to this next week, to be honest with you.
Going to keep me busy, aren't you?
Yeah, we are, because, listen, we can't maintain that. That's embarrassing. And if I just accept and think I've got a good group of lads, we're not going to achieve what we want. Even Luke Burt, the captain, just said, if we want to get playoffs, this group isn't good enough. So the players know. The players just aren't good enough. Now, I've got to take responsibility as well because I've brought them to the club. But I've brought them on the proviso of what I saw off them last year, what I know as them as players, but they're just not doing it. And then I look at it and go, it's either them or me. Now, I'm doing my bit. I'm working really hard. I'm getting them playing some good football. But at the minute, I've got players that aren't doing what we want or they're not capable of doing it, so I have to cut them out. If I then bring in players and it's not them and they're not doing it neither, then it's going to have to be me. And I'm happy to then go, maybe I'm not as good as I think, you know, and I can do that. I'm not pig-headed enough to not think, if it's got to be me, I'll go. But I know I'm doing my job at the minute. So I'll speak to the chairman. We'll have a good deep dive. We'll try and bring people in. If he turns around and says maybe it's the manager and they want to keep the players, then that's up to them as well. You know, it's got to work both ways. But this isn't one of them defeatist interviews that you hear other managers when they're losing games. I'm telling you now, I'll be here, but the players won't be. And it's going to be an entertaining week.